Welcome to Federal Insights, sponsored by Rancher Government Solutions. Here's your moderator, Tom Temin.
Edge computing is joining data centers and commercial clouds as important parts of agency IT infrastructures. The addition of edge, though, requires new approaches to how data, workloads, and virtual machines are handled. For one approach, I spoke with the Veterans Affairs Department's Reggie Cummings, the Executive Director of Infrastructure Operations in the Office of Information Technology Operations and Services. Let's begin with just a survey of the vast, that's all I know about it, it's vast, but the Veterans Affairs infrastructure supporting all the activities, the IT that you oversee. Give us a sense of what's going on here.
It is fairly large and sizable. We have 7 core data centers. They're the hub of our enterprise, if you will. And I would say that, you know, that's kind of our focus, is to shore up those areas in terms of consolidation and all of that, because we also have a number of regional data centers that service a lot of our clinical, you know, regional requirements. And so where it makes sense to kind of maintain those regional centers, we're doing that. But, you know, we're also working to drive those down as much as possible, particularly if we're in leased facilities there, and move those into our core data centers. At the same time, our cloud space is pretty wide as well. And so we're looking at, you know, options when we do something with a regional data center, you know, such as a closure, preferably moving that workload into the cloud, but otherwise we'll move it into one of our core data centers. But yeah, we service, you know, we have over 40,000 network devices sitting out there, 145,000 plus Wi-Fi access points that are tied to that regional and core data center construct. That's servicing, you know, over 2,000 facilities, you know, nationwide and in our U.S. Territories, if you will. And so yeah, it is pretty vast, pretty wide. There's very few things that occur in our overall agency that we, my team, and our infrastructure doesn't have some sort of, you know, part in helping to resolve or address, you know, those issues.
And does the term edge computing figure into the way VA works and plans workloads and application performance and so on?
Yeah, so, you know, it's an evolving concept for us. I will tell you that it's meaningful in the sense of, you know, our alignment to the mandates from OMB in terms of data center closures, right? So our whole data center optimization and consolidation initiative, DECOY, associated with that, you know, we have to identify, you know, our anticipated closures, you know, based on our business plan, anticipated closures for the year. And that's across the agency, not just the things that the central IT group has responsibility for. And so with that, I mean, there are things that are sitting, you know, out at a VA medical center or at a VBA regional office that, you know, looks a lot like an edge computing system or model, if you will, to include, you know, some of the things that we do for our overall environment, because we also have in my area responsibility for the consolidated mail outpatient pharmacies. There's 7 of them across the nation, and so that you know, technically meets some of the criteria for edge and putting things, you know, out to the logically to the best areas to service those equities, as you know, in a efficient and effective manner, without having to long haul or truck that into some centralized, you know, environment. But to the extent that we actually, you know, call it edge or have a strategy, you know, consolidated strategy across the agency around standards and things like that, that's what's evolving. We don't necessarily have that, but we're starting to use the nomenclature internally and building out that muscle to start to push that conversation.
In some ways, it's really a distributed approach to computing, and maybe not.
That's right.
Edge can be anywhere you call the edge, but there's computing at all locations.
Agreed.
And with respect to clouds, fair to say that VA is also, like so many agencies, into the multiple commercial cloud approach?
Yes, we are. So our initial structure, if you will, and we've been you know, running our, what we call our VA Enterprise Cloud, VAEC. We've been running that, you know, since we went on board with it right around 2017, 2018, and started our slow adoption, and now it's ramping up. But that is a, you know, a multiple cloud service provider solution. So we focus primarily on, you know, Azure and AWS as our core partners with that construct. And, you know, as we look and have need to consider additional, you know, options and offerings based on our use cases, you know, we have the ability to do that. It's not that, you know, we omit any other CSP. It's just that, you know, we had to start out with something. Those were, you know, met most of our requirements, because most of them were, you know, generally, you know, server compute storage, you know, kinds of things. And those are the sweet spots for those service providers. But as we kind of evolve and look at other things and other dynamics, then, you know, we have the instrumentation and the plumbing, so to speak, to bring on other CSPs as our requirements and our business model dictates.
And as VA has adopted cloud, has that had an effect backwards on the design and the content of your own data centers?
From the standpoint of how we think about the workload, it certainly has had an effect. We're doing a lot of, you know, minor enhancements, if you will, in some of our core data centers, not doing, you know, overall, because we were already, you know, prior to cloud, we were already doing a hybrid like model there, right? We were, you know, already pushing the envelope of, you know, nearly 70%, you know, virtualized in our data centers, right? So so our actual, you know, hardware or bare metal footprint was not one that we were, you know, consistently growing, where we needed more floor space, so to speak. We were getting more density in the floor space that we had, and you know, increasing our, again, virtual footprint. And so that created a, you know, kind of the framework for how we rolled out, you know, our cloud enclaves, you know, in terms of just utilizing a lot of VMs or, you know, EC2 nodes, if you're, you know, thinking about things from an AWS or an Azure standpoint. But what it has done, you know, very intentionally, in terms of our movement to the cloud, a lot of the work that we were doing, you know, when we were in the early phases of adoption and moving our applications from on-premise, or some of those legacy applications from on-premise to the cloud, we were, you know, doing that mostly in a lift and shift fashion, right? A virtual machine to virtual machine, you know, from, you know, the on-premise environment to the cloud environment, and, you know, doing very minor tweaks to that virtual machine to, you know, fit within the cloud construct. Now we have a model that we've unveiled and went production with that brings in a enterprise containerization approach and solution that now allows us to you know, move that on-premise workload, you know, into a containerized environment running in our on-premise environment. And then we can move it and building out the same, that same containerization solution in our cloud instances. Now we have, you know, across three of our core data centers, a containerization environment, and that interacts with the containerization environments that we have in the cloud. And so now we're able to seamlessly move those workloads, you know, from our on-prem into our cloud without, you know, worry about, you know, a big production around migration, things like that. So that is how, you know, our cloud adoption has impacted or, you know, reinforced some of the things that we're doing in our on-premise space.
Yes, maybe just to bring it home for clarity, maybe talk about a couple of the applications that have been, say, re-rendered as containerized so that they are more mobile and more, I guess, deployable in whatever infrastructure you need for the moment.
Yeah. So right now we have four primary applications in the pipeline. Most of them have to do with corporate back office kinds of things. There's one application that is very close to the health space, right? And so we didn't have the opportunity or the time, you know, to actually replatform those applications, right? So we look, the kind of the process for us is to look at the applications that are in the chute, let's say, for migrating to the cloud, right? That's our first feeding ground for looking at moving, you know, something into a container. And then we run that, our solution set has a front door that essentially analyzes the application for fit for containerization. And if it's a fit, or maybe there's some minor tweaks to the configurations of the application, then we then, you know, take it to the next step. What is the timeline, you know, for moving this? And then, you know, start to work that action to move that application, you know, into that on-premise container environment. And then ultimately on the back end, in a transparent way, we'll move that to the cloud, and, you know, as it works, you know, from our timing. So we don't impact our customer or our developers, you know, with, you know, worrying about what it means to move it to our containerized environment in the cloud. We do that on the back end after it's in. But the idea is that, yeah, these workloads that we have, or these applications, you know, that we have, you know, start out with having a plan to move to the cloud. We augment that with running it through an analyzer, seeing if it fits, that it can be containerized. And then we start working that action. And as I mentioned, you know, we have four, you know, that are what I would consider mid-tier applications. I wouldn't say that they're the most critical applications at this point, because, you know, we just want to be mindful of any kind of impacts based on how we're rolling out our enterprise solution. But that said, we do have other container spot solutions within our overall ecosystem that manage some of our biggest applications. And that's why we know that there's, you know, the idea of trying to scale some of those, like our VBMS environment, right? That environment sits on top of a containerized kind of solution. It's, while not all the applications in the Veterans Benefits Management System are containerized, but they're managed by containerized capabilities. And so we know the use cases are there. We know that the scale is there. Now the key is to not have to, you know, build out a bunch of siloed solutions, which, you know, led us to building out, you know, an enterprise solution. We call it VA Platform One, or VAPO. That way we don't have developers going out and trying to figure out how to, you know, build their own Kubernetes or own container environment. We built that out for the greater good. And again, as we see applications that are destined for the cloud, those are the ones that we're looking at, because we do have a pretty sizable cloud migration pipeline. We're looking to move those, you know, into containers, and then to satiate that migration to the cloud. And then we'll look at, you know, other custom applications that maybe not destined to the cloud, but certainly, you know, are at a point in our on-premise environment that we need to touch the metal that it might sit on, right? And that would be, you know, kind of a second order of, you know, here are things that we want to look at to containerize.
Reggie Cummings, the Executive Director of Infrastructure Operations in the Office of Information Technology Operations and Services at the Veterans Affairs Department. We'll return with more of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
When security, speed, and scale are essential to your mission success, you need a partner who can deliver certified, open source, and cloud-native software solutions to the U.S. government. Rancher Government Solutions RKE2 Kubernetes Distribution provides clients the security and ease of use, whether in the cloud, on-premises, or at the edge. Rancher delivers a full-stack solution and ecosystem of capabilities for your agency, while adhering to the robust security requirements of the U.S. government. Learn more at SUSARGS.com.
Welcome back to our interview with Reggie Cummings, the Executive Director of Infrastructure Operations in the Office of Information Technology Operations and Services at Veterans Affairs. Our topic is workload and data management in complex IT setups. Earlier, you mentioned virtualization and virtual machines, and then we kind of transitioned to containerized workloads. And would you say that the containerization is an evolution from the virtualization approach? And if so, what advantages are there over the earlier idea of virtualization?
You know, when we embarked on this, we had, in my mind, I kind of set the conversation to address two things. One was, you know, ideally to minimize the lifting and shifting effect, you know, to the cloud, because it didn't, you know, while the cloud is not necessarily a cost play, you know, it certainly would be beneficial for us to have an environment that virtualizes that which has been virtualized, right? Meaning there's less cloud compute, you know, elements that we have to do, i.e., to be clear, let's just take an application that has, you know, maybe 50, you know, virtual servers that makes that application whole, right? Well, you know, rather than 50 server to 50 server, you know, from the on-premise environment to the cloud environment, wouldn't it be great to containerize those 50 servers into an environment that is run by, you know, 5 virtual servers, and now you have this small footprint of 50, you know, essentially still 50, you know, compute capabilities into and running onto a 5, you know, virtual server, you know, environment. That was the initial concept around let's see how we can get more cost avoidance, if you will, if we kind of compact or, you know, create that kind of economy of scale relative to just the VMs, right? So going from 50 to 5 is so much, is going to at some point show us some dividends in terms of our cloud spend, if you will. The other piece, and probably the more important piece of this, you know, endeavor, was really about empowering and liberating developers and therefore the business from the worry of dealing with all those things underneath the application, right? You know, a lot of times we have a lot of technical debt associated with softwares and applications because there's so much patching that has to happen at the OS level or at the various components underneath the application that have really nothing to do with the application other than servicing up and hosting it, right? So containerizing that liberates the application from the worry of, you know, your traditional, you know, patching and updating of a Windows or a Linux OS, right? So all that kind of gets removed from the application stack, and all they have to focus on is the functionality and delivery of the application. So those are the two primary motives that at least I had, and I, you know, my team kind of, you know, galvanized with me to make those use cases and start to, sure, you know, endeavor on that journey.
Yeah. So developers don't need to know processor instruction sets, for example, anymore.
That's right.
And they can really worry about the functionality. And what about the data? How do you handle all of the data generation and data sources that are associated with applications? Because nowadays, data is not necessarily the sole province of a single application, but is reused in multiple applications.
Yeah. And so, you know, we have a you know, kind of a data governance and, you know, a focus, you know, on that. Admittedly, the containerized, you know, approach and solution, I mean, I think there's capabilities there to drive the needle even more there, but there's so much governance that has to happen around data sourcing, ensuring that we're understanding and, you know, being mindful of not replicating the real source of a data set. And so we're not addressing that specifically with containerization, but our overall and general approach in terms of how we, you know, are trying to show up with via either automation or, you know, truly managed and published, you know, APIs, that is going to help drive some of that, right? That's going to, you know, help to ensure that, you know, if we can continue to drive our API adoption or, you know, means of which to access data or getting better synergy around our data lakes, if you will, that'll reduce the amount of secondary and tertiary data marts they end up getting created as a result of just, you know, someone taking information and then creating their own, right? So, but that's a broader discussion and beyond, you know, some of our specific containerization and cloud adoption approaches.
And just getting back to briefly the VA Platform One, you mentioned in the same way that you free developers from having to worry about instruction sets and operating systems issues, it sounds like you offer Kubernetes and containerization almost as a service so that they don't have to worry about that either.
Yeah, that's you're spot on. That's exactly the idea. We didn't start out with open source model, but we certainly, you know, as the requirements and the use cases kind of avail themselves, we'll work to building out our muscle. We started out with one commercial container, you know, solution. We'll grow that out over the coming years to include other commercial products, as well as open source kubes. And we're going to probably dip our toes into the, to the AWS native Kubernetes that they have running on their platform.
But for all of the applications that you are doing the containerization for, then fair to say that the containerizing and the application of the Kubernetes framework then gives you portability among all facilities, cloud and on-premises?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And so that's kind of why it was important for us to build out at least our initial offering in both the on-prem environments as well as cloud environments, so that it ideally, you know, we're going to move that workload, you know, as we see fit. The real end game here is to get the, you know, our customers, developers, our business to think about, you know, their requirements and the functions, how the application or the service that they're providing needs to perform, and focus on that and not so much on where it sits, right? Where it's hosted at, right? And so, you know, by kind of creating that layer of abstraction, we're able to move workload, you know, in the background where workload makes sense. If we are having better performance in one environment versus another, you know, we can move that. Or if, let's say that, you know, we need to, we also manage that environment just like a development environment, right? You know, you have your blue, green, you know, kind of rollout construct. So maybe there's some things that we need to do in our VAPO environment that is running in our Philadelphia data center. So that goes maybe dark, but before that goes dark, we move that workload over to our Austin data center or into one of our cloud enclaves, and then do the work on the Philadelphia side, and then bring that back into the mix. So the idea is that now you're as a developer, as a application owner, product owner, as a business owner, you're not talking about your application is hosted in Philadelphia. You're just talking about your application.
And that's Reggie Cummings, Executive Director of Information Operations in the Office of Information Technology Operations and Services at the Veterans Affairs Department. To hear this interview again or share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights, sponsored by Rancher Government Solutions on Federal News Network.
When security, speed, and scale are essential to your mission success, you need a partner who can deliver certified, open source, and cloud-native software solutions to the U.S. government. Rancher Government Solutions RKE2 Kubernetes Distribution provides clients the security and ease of use, whether in the cloud, on-premises, or at the edge. Rancher delivers a full-stack solution and ecosystem of capabilities for your agency, while adhering to the robust security requirements of the U.S. government. Learn more at SUSARGS.com.
When we need help, we turn to government. When government needs help, they turn to Federal News Network.
For news on the federal pay raise.
To learn how other agencies handle IT modernization.
To see how Congress funds my agency.
For changes to my TRICARE benefits.
Federal News Network, helping feds meet their mission.